Chapter 3. You Are Cordially Invited. It started out as Augusta National Invitational from a small group of Bob's friends. I don't think he really meant to bring it into what it is. It happened because of Jones. They didn't know they were going to have a championship there. If Jones thought he would have the event that he was going to have, I'll guarantee you they would have built the club in Atlanta. Jack Nicklaus. The first thought was to host the U.S. Open. It was one of Bob's favorite tournaments, and certainly he was the USGA's favorite champion. The USGA had never held its national championship south of the Mason-Dixon line, and who better to bring the Open south than the great Atlanta native Bobby Jones? Jones would be posthumously credited with bringing the Open south when the USGA saw fit to hold it at Atlanta Athletic Club in 1976. Prior to the opening of the National, meetings were held with USGA officials who seemed amenable to the idea of the U.S. Open in Augusta as long as it fell in line with their regular June schedule. The USGA held the Open in June, and that was that. Host clubs had nothing to say on the subject, at least nothing the USGA was interested in hearing. Jones and Roberts had something to say. No. Augusta is brutally hot in June, with temperatures approaching 100 degrees, humidity that climbs to over 90%, and no breeze. In fact, during the course construction, temperatures along Rays Creek reached upwards of 110 degrees, and foremen had to regulate work to avoid killing any laborers from heat exhaustion. Jones had played under these kinds of grueling conditions, and he didn't want his golf course to be a test of stamina in the sweltering Georgia heat. He also hadn't built Augusta National for the summer. It was a winter golf course, closed in the summer from its inception. The USGA would simply have to move the Open to March or April when conditions are ideal for golf in Augusta. The top brass at the USGA politely declined. Snubbed by the organization he had helped bring into adulthood, Jones decided to host his own invitational in the spring when the flowers are in bloom and Augusta was rich with warm air and clean blue skies. Augusta temperatures in the spring average in the low 70s, ideal conditions for golf. The National was built for those ideal conditions, and a spring invitational would be the club's one and only tournament. This wasn't the only time a summer event for Augusta National had been considered. In 1992, when Billy Payne and the Atlanta Committee for the Olympic Games, ACOG, proposed bringing golf back into the Summer Olympics, there was only one course they considered, Georgia's finest, Augusta National. Although the idea received a cool reception from many players who felt the Ryder Cup was golf's play for God and country ritual, Payne and the ACOG pressed ahead, naming the National as the venue for the games. To the surprise of many, Jack Stevens and the National members jumped on board, agreeing to keep the club open into late July and early August for the Olympics. In October 1992, Payne and Stevens made the announcement at a press conference on the lawn near the 10th tee, at which time Stevens said, "We're trying to send a message that we're for both men and women's golf. We have no prohibition for any member or any type member, and that's always been the policy of the club." However, when civil rights leaders, Atlanta City councilmen, and other interested and/or involved parties spun their politically creative agendas into an anti-Augusta National resolution, it became obvious to everyone that Augusta National, golf, and the Olympic Games were not going to mix well in 1996. By 1994, the entire idea was dropped, and the National preserved its long-standing tradition as a spring golf course. With the exception of an occasional regatta or regional golf event, Augusta's only big-time sports claim in the 1930s was hometown hero Ty Cobb, a man who once went into the stands and assaulted a quadriplegic fan for allegedly calling Cobb a half-nigger. Even native Augustans who might have shared Cobb's minority views weren't necessarily happy to consider him a neighbor. What the town really needed was a sporting event to call its own, and Bob's spring invitational fit the bill nicely. Locals, many of whom had never seen a golf course, diligently worked to support the National's efforts to bring respect to Augusta. In spring 1934, the club hosted its first annual invitational tournament by inviting a group of Bob's friends, who happened to be the greatest players in the world. The field would be so strong that even before invitations went out, Cliff Roberts suggested calling the tournament the Masters. Jones would have none of it. Too presumptuous, he said. But Roberts wouldn't let it die. Through his own blend of backdoor maneuvering, Roberts was able to unofficially name the tournament the Masters and make the name change look like a totally spontaneous event. Old friend and member Tom Barrett got wind of the Masters name idea, wink wink, and he made a few calls to the press, nod nod, who thought the name entirely appropriate. Jones hated it and referred to it as the so-called Masters as late as the 1960s, even though the club officially adopted the name in 1938. The first event was officially called the First Annual Invitational Tournament, but the Masters was being used quite openly as a substitute. Also, from the very beginning, Jones hated the idea of anyone calling the tournament a championship. Championship of what? He snapped. It was his contention that the so-called Masters was an invitational tournament put on by the members of Augusta National. Nothing more, nothing less. The winner hadn't gone through any preliminary qualifying, and no ruling body of golf sanctioned the event. This was a member-owned club hosting a member-run invitational. The fact that the club president just happened to be Bobby Jones, and the members were America's premier movers and shakers, didn't make it a championship, and Jones denounced any motions to that effect.